You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, the Trump administration is broadening a rule that could impact people who legally immigrate to the United States. We'll learn more about what's called the public charge rule and what it can mean for immigrants coming to the country and seeking green cards. Right now, agriculture has been a driver of Wisconsin's economy for a long time, but low commodity prices and ongoing trade disputes in the last several years have put a lot of farmers under pressure or even out of business. A new report released today looks at the latest data to measure the contribution of agriculture to Wisconsin's economy. Finds that while its impact is growing, the gains aren't spread evenly across the industry. Steve Deller is a professor with UW-Madison's Agricultural and Applied Economics Program. He's the author of the report. Steve, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me.
You've been doing this every 5 years now for quite some time. What are the big standout trends to you in this new report?
I don't want to admit how long I've been doing this because it will age me a little bit here. But one of the things that is kind of jumps out of this report is that there is an increase in the actual contribution. The number of jobs has increased. The amount of industry sales has increased. But the bulk of the growth has been coming from the food processing sector. There's real growth in that side of the industry, which is kind of counterbalancing kind of the depressed on-farm part of the economy.
Let's talk about that some more, because a lot of people think impact of agriculture in Wisconsin, they think of the farm itself. In your report, you're saying yes, that and food processing. Talk about the scope of the agricultural industry in Wisconsin, apart from the fields we drive by.
Well, when you think about agriculture, most folks think it's the on-farm production. But really, in Wisconsin, most of the agricultural products that's produced actually goes into some type of value added. 90% of milk, actually more than 90% of the milk that's produced in Wisconsin goes into making cheese. So you have these industries, the food processors and the farmers, that are kind of two sides of the same coin. So what we want to try to do is get a better handle on how on-farm production, the farmers, and the value-added processors, how they're kind of linked together and how they're performing over time. Because as one does well, the other does well.
Except that it seems like the farming side of things, you were touching on this earlier, not looking as great. Can you talk about the trends you've seen on the farm and then compare that to what you see with the food processing?
What's been happening with farming is that it's been going into the fifth year of down prices. And agriculture, farm agriculture, is kind of built around these kind of ups and down types of swings, one good year, one not so good year. The problem that we're facing now is that we're going into the fifth year of down prices and income.
And there's a point in your report where you say, okay, that farmer knows usually, okay, this year's bad, we're going to make it up next year. And they can count on that usually, but not now.
Exactly, because it is they're kind of running at their wit's end to some extent. They've pulled down as much cash reserves as they possibly can. They have extended as much credit as they possibly can. And this is where we're seeing a transition. We're seeing an increase in the number of farms that are essentially they're calling it quits. They're getting out. One of the things in the report that really surprised me is the growth in the beef production within the state. What's happening is that we're seeing a number of dairy farmers kind of shifting out of dairy farming, and what they're doing is they're selling the milking cows to other farmers, but they're shifting into beef production. So we're seeing kind of a transition that, you know, and we were just talking about that this morning at the Department of Ag and Consumer Protection. Is this kind of a short-term shift, or is this kind of a long-term shift? And we're not quite sure.
Now, when we say things are bad for farmers, the thing we're mostly talking about is commodity prices, right? Milk in particular, the prices are low. They're below the break-even point for most dairy farmers.
That's right. And it's been continuous years that prices have been depressed.
Okay. But if I'm a dairy farmer, that low milk price, obviously bad for me. If I'm a cheesemaker, if I'm a food processor, doesn't that low price look pretty good to me?
Well, that might be one of the reasons that the food processing industry is growing, is because their input supply is getting a little bit cheaper, particularly in dairy, for example. It could be that some of the food processors are seeing an opportunity to expand because some of their input costs are lower. But we need to be careful not to pit the processors and the growers against one another, because it's really vital that there's a realization that they're kind of in the same boat together. If one is doing poorly long term, it's going to affect the other one in a negative way.
Talking to Steve Deller from UW-Madison's Agricultural and Applied Economics Program, author of a new report on the role of the agricultural economy here in Wisconsin. Talk more about that point you just made. You keep coming back to it in the report, the idea that really, even though it might look like it on the face of it, these are not two opposed parts of the agriculture industry. They, in the long run, sink or swim together, the farmers and the processors.
That's exactly right. When you think about what came first, the chicken or the egg, the farmers or the food processors? Well, the farmers came first, and a lot of the food processors came because of the agricultural production that was occurring here. So those processors, oftentimes, their primary input suppliers are Wisconsin farmers. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't get other, you know, input supplies coming in. I mean, if you're a cheese plant and you're sitting on the Minnesota border, if you're bringing in milk from Minnesota, I mean, that they're thinking, well, that's local. They're just on the street. They happen to be on the other side of the state line. But as the two kind of move together and work together and try to implement policies that are better for them together, the industry will be more dynamic and the industry will be able to be more profitable and more competitive long term.
Are there innovations out there where somehow the on-farm part of the business and the food processing part of the business are working together, sharing the risk, evening out some of the differences in value between them, making sure the dairy farmer gets a bigger part of the dollar that goes in when I buy some sharp cheddar?
Well, we have to there's really kind of two parts of the Wisconsin ag economy. One part is kind of into the commodity market. A big part of the dairy industry, for example, is making mozzarella cheese that goes on frozen pizzas, and that's a commodity. And that's one market, and that's where a frozen cheese manufacturer will shift suppliers based on a couple of pennies a pound. There's another part of the market, which is kind of a product-based market. Think of the local foods market. Think of the specialty products. We have to think about those two very differently. In terms of the second one, I think that's where a lot of the growth is occurring. Because it's the small-scale processors, it is the smaller-scale farmers, it's these niche markets. That's where a lot of the growth is going, because a lot of consumer taste and preferences in the U.S. is being more, we want to explore with more types of foods, and that creates market opportunities for us.
Let's zoom out a little bit here. Can you talk about the overall percentages we see coming from agriculture when it comes to things like money and job creation in the state?
Sure.
Where does agriculture fit into the state as a whole?
Sure. If listeners may recall, I do this every 5 years to coincide with the census of agriculture. So the last one was using 2012 data. And the ag industry was about an $88 billion industry. Today, it's about a $105 billion industry.
In Wisconsin.
In Wisconsin. That's an increase of just over 18%. I think more importantly is that in 2012, the number of jobs that were being supported was just over 413,000. Today, it's about 436,000 jobs. So that's an increase. We can also talk about the income that's also, I mean, wages and salaries and things like that. That's going up. But in terms of contribution, what share of the state's economy that is, it varies by the measure. If you're looking at industry sales, it's about 16% of the state's economy. If you're looking at employment or income, it's about not quite 12%. So it's about, I mean, you can actually say, depending on whether you round up or you round down, it's one out of eight or one out of nine jobs in the state's economy is linked to agriculture, either directly or through the multiplier effect.
We continue our conversation with Steve Deller from UW-Madison, author of a new report about the contribution of agriculture to the state's economy. He does this every 5 years. What comes out of the report, the numbers that we'll be saying in the news for the next 5 years about agriculture's role in Wisconsin's economy. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you seeing the agricultural economy grow or shrink in your area? Do you work as a farmer yourself or in some kind of food product? processing, if you're a cheesemaker, a brewer, someone else who relies on Wisconsin farm products to make the stuff that you sell, we'd love to hear from you, your perspective on this. And how important is agriculture and food processing for your neck of the woods, for your town, for your county? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@wpr.org. Steve just passed over a piece of paper that talks about agriculture and Wisconsin's breweries, wineries, and distilleries. Right on cue there, Steve. I mean, this is a, and this could be, this is partly the commodity thing if we're talking big brewers, but there are those smaller brewers who want all locally sourced, I imagine. How does that all fit in?
That is actually one of the growth sectors. There's two ways you can grow the Wisconsin economy. One is the commodity markets and look outside the U.S. That's exports. The other is the kind of the specialty markets, brewers, distilleries. I mean, what really kind of jumped out at me looking at the adult beverage industry is that from 2012 to 2016, we don't have 2017 data yet, the number of brewers, wineries, and distilleries has doubled in the state. Now, a lot of them are fairly small, but some of these have real tremendous growth potential. You know, are they going to become the next Miller or Budweiser? No. But will they provide a solid source of employment and income for some local business owners? And yeah, they will.
Now, you talked about the overall percentage of Wisconsin's economy in agriculture and farming and food processing, but that's not evenly distributed in the state. What do we know about communities that really rely on either their local dairy farmers or their local cheesemakers or maybe that downtown that could get a boost from that microbrewery?
It really varies where you're at in the state. If you're north of... is it 20 Highway 29? Mm-hmm. There's a disagreement on where True North starts.
We did a whole segment on that.
Did you? You know, that's really logging and forestry and whatnot. There's a little bit of agriculture, but not very much. There's the Central Sands, which is really highly vegetable production. Then there's kind of this dairy belt that's kind of across the middle of the state. So it really depends on where you're at. And the commodities will vary by where you're at. The other thing, too, is that a lot of times people think that agriculture is a rural industry. If you include food processing in there, meat packing, bakeries, things like that, many of those businesses, particularly the larger ones, tend to be located in urban areas. Just in terms of the county with the biggest impact, it's Milwaukee County.
Really?
Yeah.
I think a lot of people wouldn't think that.
It's because of all the food processors that are located in Milwaukee County.
How about a lot of your data is coming from 2017, the most recent agricultural census data, I think it was available. And that's before we really got hot and heavy on these tariff wars. What do we know about the impact that tariffs could be having on Wisconsin farmers and food processors?
It's going to vary because we did do an assessment on the impact of agriculture's exports. And here we're defining just farm production, And it's about 21,000, 22,000 jobs that are supported through agricultural exports. Now, the thing is that, I mean, it doesn't help. Let's put it that way. The trade wars, this is a short-term kind of phenomenon. I think that over the next couple of years, maybe we'll have some resolution to it and we'll get back to more of a normal. But what it is essentially is that it's if agriculture right now, farm production, is kind of having, is seriously wounded, the trade wars are essentially kind of pouring salt on that wound, and it's not helping.
Talking to Steve Deller from UW-Madison. He has a new report out about the contributions of agriculture to Wisconsin's economy. Still time for your calls with your experiences, thoughts, and questions at 800-642-1234. Steve, let's talk about what people can do with this data in your report. What can policymakers, for example, take out of this when they look at Wisconsin's farm economy?
Well, I think it's two things. One is the diversity of the Wisconsin agricultural economy. We are kind of the dairy state, but dairy is about 40% of the total ag industry. That's partially because of the kind of the depressed prices that we have right now. It's a very diversified industry. So there is no one magic policy that's going to affect all of farming. It's a very integrated in terms of the amount of value-added food processing that we have in the state, that a lot of that is in urban areas. So this is not just a rural phenomenon. This is across the state. So I think it just kind of helps a lot of folks better understand what agriculture is in the state of Wisconsin.
We've talked a lot in the past, Steve, about small businesses, not necessarily related to farming and agriculture. Where do small businesses versus bigger operations fit in? What are the kind of divides we see there?
It depends on which particular type of industry that you're looking at. But what we're seeing is kind of a bifurcation of the industry, if you will. And what that means is that we got a couple of really big producers in terms of value-added processors or farmers. And then we've got a lot of smaller producers, particularly on the value added. You look at some of these distilleries or these wineries, they're not very big. But the question is that which one of these smaller businesses has the potential to grow bigger? We don't know that. Some of these breweries, for example, they're very content with the size that they are. They don't want to get any bigger, which is fine. That's their decision. But there could be a couple that really kind of take off. I mean, Organic Valley, when Organic Valley first started, we had a lot of folks in my department were going, oh, well, that's a tiny market. That's not going to go very far. Well, we were wrong. and so we don't know. So it's really kind of from a policy perspective how many of these small businesses in food can we nurture and hopefully a couple of them take off and really grow?
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Bob is with us in Sparta. Bob, hi.
Hello. We just talked about the short-term effects of the trade war, and I'm wondering about the long-term effects of last year in 2018. Texas added 500,000 cows, while California and Wisconsin only added a couple of percent.
Bob, thanks a lot for the call. Yeah, Wisconsin agriculture doesn't exist in a vacuum if other states, like in this case Texas, he says, add a lot of cows. I don't know if he's talking dairy there, but what are you watching for in terms of what happens in other states that could affect farming and food processing here in Wisconsin?
You have to look at the scale of these operations. Some of the big operations in California and Texas and Idaho that are getting very big, they're going towards the commodity markets. They're going towards that volume market, the mozzarella cheese that goes on the frozen pizza. That's a competitive market and will continue to be a competitive market. But they're not going into the kind of the niche markets, the specialty markets, those kind of markets that are growing in a lot of our urban, you know, large metropolitan areas. I think that how can we grow the Wisconsin economy? One is, or the dairy industry, or the food industry. One is to try to expand foreign exports with the commodity markets and to focus on continuing to grow and regenerate that kind of specialty niche type agriculture.
Thanks a lot for the call, Bob. Appreciate it. As you look ahead, this is data from 2017. Steve, have you seen things happen just since then, maybe anecdotally or whatever information we have that are pointing us toward what's to come in the next 5 years?
I think that we're going to continue to see a bit of a shakeout. I think we're going to see some of the marginal farmers kind of go by the wayside. And that's the production capacity of a lot of those farms are going to be picked up by larger farms. I also think you're going to see opportunities for new farmers getting in to take advantage of some of these farms that have gone into bankruptcy. They can get them a little bit cheaper. So there is a light at the end of the tunnel. And it doesn't look like it's a freight train. There are some positive signs here, despite what's happening with the trade policy. I think 5 years from now, I think Wisconsin agriculture will continue to be robust. And I think with some strategic thinking and kind of being a little bit more entrepreneurial, I think we have a potential to continue to grow the industry.
I should ask, are we seeing cases where, and I think anecdotally I've heard this, maybe the dairy farmer realizes dairy farming, they're not making a go of it, they sell their cattle, but then they go into a different kind of farming.
Exactly. That's where that growth in the beef industry is, because a lot of these farmers, the farm household, the farm family, they like having livestock. So they're shifting out of dairy into beef cattle. Now, the question is that in order to make a decent living on beef cattle, you've got to have 400 or 500 head of cattle. And the question is whether or not these farms will be able to sustain that. If they're transitioning from dairy into beef, thinking that they're going to retire eventually, that's a legitimate strategy for retirement. But you are seeing a lot of farmers looking at niche, ways to diversify, so they're not so specialized on one particular product.
Steve, thanks as always for joining us today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
That's Steve Deller, professor with UW-Madison's Agricultural and Applied Economics program. He joins us to talk about his new report looking at the role agriculture, farming, and food processing play in the state's economy. Coming up, we'll talk about the Trump administration's latest immigration rule that can impact legal immigrants to the United States. I'm Rob Ferret. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network.